All right, let's get to our top story, which is the war in Ukraine. And I want to start with a question, sort of a thought question for you, which is, I'd like to propose the idea here that perhaps the war in Ukraine hasn't even started yet. Think about that for a minute. Like, we've been told, of course, the past 7 to 8 months since February, when this war or invasion of the Donbas region actually started, that that's the real start of the war. But what if it hasn't started at all? I'm just going to let it hang out there for a second. Let it hang out there like a dangling participle. And you guys let me know in the chat if you think it's actually started or if it's about to. We'll come back to this in a moment. But first, American cities are preparing for a nuclear war. Now, if you're traveling on the subway in New York City, or you're in Los Angeles, or you're in San Francisco on the BART system, you may have noticed, if you're in New Jersey on the train stations, you might have noticed that there are nuclear preparedness signs popping up. So take a look at this on your screen, what this says here. Radiation emergencies, what should you do? Get inside. Now, this was all over Reddit yesterday. People are like, I can't believe these are popping up all over the place. Philip, I know you, how much you love Reddit. I don't know if you saw this on Reddit yesterday, but...
I did not. I actually didn't do as much Redditing as usual yesterday. So.
See? And you feel, and you sound happier, to be honest with you.
I'm so much happier.
So this is what you would have seen on Reddit yesterday. Get inside is the first little picture. Stay inside is the second picture. And I love that they've got in this little picture, there's a picture of a guy with a dog too. Like, get inside, stay inside. And third is stay tuned. Like, stay tuned to the radio or your favorite television station for the very latest.
That's a very confusing graphic. I was like, what is that?
It's a guy just watching TV like a drone, like just sitting there with its back.
Oh, that's a person?
That's a person listening to a radio, just like with their back to us at the very bottom of the screen.
That's a terrible graphic. I thought it was a spray bottle in a temple.
In a temple. Yeah. So, of course, this is all a lie. We would be wiped off the map. You wouldn't be able to stay inside, right? You wouldn't be able to stay inside and be tuned to the radio. There'd be no radio at all. There'd be no television stations. It would all be wiped away, especially if this happened in, like, the New York City metro area.
Of course.
It would be destroyed. It's the same. Of course, it's the same lie they told us in the 1950s, right? The ridiculous duck and cover advertisements. Remember this?
He did what we all must learn to do.
You.
And you.
And you.
And you. And cover.
Yeah, that'll help you, right? That'll help you. Sammy the Turtle or whatever his name is, duck and cover. So what happens, though, if you get covered in radiation, right, and from the nuclear bomb? You're inside now sitting with your dog listening to the radio covered in radiation. Just have mommy wipe off some of the radiation with some soap, right? Watch.
You know how bad sunburn can feel. The atomic bomb flash could burn you worse than a terrible sunburn. Especially where you're not covered.
Oh.
Now, you and I don't Thank have you. Shells to crawl into like Bert the Turtle, so we have to cover up in our own way. First, you duck, and then you cover. And very tightly, you cover the back of your neck.
That'll save us all.
Duck and cover.
Yeah, that'll save us all. So NATO is really excited about launching a nuclear war. You might have seen this all weekend. It's continuing to unfold. And since our show last night, it's gotten even worse. They want to keep pushing the idea that Putin is about to launch nuclear weapons. These drumbeats have gotten louder since our last night's show. And just look at what the Western press is saying this morning. Russian nuclear sub disappears armed with doomsday weapon. So, of course, NATO wants Putin to use some sort of tactical nuclear weapon. It will give them all the excuse they need to launch a full-scale attack of Russia. And here's another news report. It says experts. Here's more proof of that. This article says, if Putin uses nukes, U.S. could wipe out Russian forces in Ukraine. Oh, so you want this to happen, basically. Here's an expert saying this. We want this to happen. The expert cited in the article actually says this. Also acknowledged, he says, that such a direct U.S. or NATO military strike against the Russian military, even in response to the Russian use of tactical nuclear weapons on the battlefield, could spiral out of control.
That's not what you want to hear from experts, that we will not be able to control this once the whatever is out of the barn.
But also, it's obvious. Yes, of course. it would spiral out of control. So you want Putin to launch a tactical nuclear weapon in Ukraine so that then that's just one little nuclear bomb. It's contained. And now we have a full scale NATO invasion of or just destruction of Russia. Like, that's what you want to have happen. And nobody else would launch any nuclear weapons after that. It would just be this little like test. Here you go. That's not going to happen. Of course, it would spiral out of control. Retired general and former Pentagon official tells CNN the U.S. should consider launching a nuclear strike on Russia. Listen to this. Crazy.
CNN has learned that the U.S. is developing contingency plans for possible Russian escalation in its war in Ukraine, including the potential use of tactical nuclear weapons. Also, the possibility of what one source described as a nuclear display that would be something short of a nuclear strike, including the possibility of a military strike on the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant. So this shows how serious.
First of all, we'll go on a second here. So they're going. So let's just be clear: an area that Putin now controls,
they would strike on it
with a nuclear attack on the nuclear power plant.
Do two nukes cancel each other out?
Like, this is the kind of Western garbage. This is CNN. Like, this is CNN ridiculousness.
The U.S. is taking these Russian nuclear threats. They've been developing contingency plans for some time. I wonder, can you describe what such contingency plans might involve?
Well, I think, first of all, there's the public face of all of this, which is how we communicate to Russia what we're prepared to do, what we're not prepared to do. My personal view is I think we ought to be deliberately vague on what we are prepared to do. Anytime you draw a red line, that commits you to a certain course of action. Look, I think it's fairly simple to lay down the options. It could be the soft side of it, which is doubling down on sanctions, doubling down on export controls, ranging all the way.
So soft is draconian sanctions that are going to get people killed because they have no food, right? That's soft, according to this general. What about peace? How is that soft?
So
that might
soft.
Be soft. Like, maybe peace would be the first. That might be an option.
Right. How about now we come to the table and say, we're done with war. People are dying.
So he goes on. Listen.
Look, I think it's fairly simple to lay down the options. It could be the soft side of it, which is doubling down on sanctions, doubling down on export controls, ranging all the way to a nuclear response of our own and everything in between.
Wow. So a nuclear attack.
Okay.
So everything in between. What do you think?
I'm horrified. I'm just thinking of like, oh, okay, what does this mean for the rest of us? Because it's wherever it might be, we'll have fallout for everybody. And up to this point, it's really infuriating to see these anchors kind of saying, oh, well, you know, that might happen over there. I'll be okay over here. And I feel comfortable then not putting anything on the air that will promote peace and just sort of fear mongering and ratcheting this up and falling in line. We're going to talk in the last segment later about how the media has no problems promoting war because it just feels like it hasn't touched them and it feels very elitist.
Yeah. And him especially, like Jim Sciotta or whatever, like he's all friends with the intelligence state. He's constantly parroting things from the intelligence community. Like, they tell him what to say and he puts it right on CNN. He continues to do that. He's friends with all of these guys. They all know him personally. So to put this nuclear fallout scenario in context for a minute, just think about this. Atmospheric scientist Brian Toon has been studying atmospheric nuclear weapons and how this would all unfold for 39 years, so he's an expert. And he explains it this way. He says that, you know, the Enola Gay, of course, there it is, that carried one atomic bomb, had the power of 15,000 tons of TNT. And when it dropped the bomb on Hiroshima, Japan, 100,000 people died. Now, just to give some example, we have these Trident missiles now, you know, that the UK has and others. And of course, one of these Trident nuclear missiles with one of these bombs, if it hit a population center like Philadelphia or Sacramento, would kill 500,000 people. It has enough power to kill everything within an 8-kilometer radius. This is the smallest of the small. So we're talking like tactical, mobile nuclear weapons on board a submarine, on a nuclear submarine, right? So we're just using like the small example here. So again, scientist Brian Kuhn describes how this small attack would work on land. Let's say this hits Baltimore, Maryland, as an example, for instance, my dad's hometown. Here is an example, and he explains this. So in this orange circle, there's a shockwave so powerful that it knocks down concrete buildings and kills everyone within that zone. In the red circle, then there's radiation that's released from the atomic bomb as it fissions. Then the radiation would kill 50 to 90% of the people in Baltimore over the next few weeks. Then in the green circle, buildings would collapse. The shockwave continues out with enough power to knock down residential buildings. And then in this yellow circle, 6 miles in diameter, there's a blast of light so bright, your skin, if your skin was exposed, you get third-degree burns, which can be fatal. So remember back to that video we saw?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, Billy has a little sunburn.
Yeah, there's no sunscreen that's going to...
Sorry, mommy's not going to be able to wipe that away with some sun oil and take care of it for you. And finally, a global nuclear war would leave 400 million people dead, and it would 10 times, it would be 10 times the size of World War II. So again, you know, these sort of New Jersey signs that people are saying wouldn't be enough to stop, you know, wouldn't be enough to stop any of this.
I mean, forget about wear a mask. It's like wear a nuclear radiation suit. You know,
yeah.
That's where we're heading. My sister-in-law was telling me that her kids go to school in Pennsylvania, and she was saying that, you know, these bulletproof backpacks have sold out because these are just a sign of the times. These are the things that people want to buy. And now I'm thinking, okay, do I need bulletproof backpacks and then also radiation backpacks? You know, that something can be
like a poncho
pulled over the kids. You know, these are the way that we have to think nowadays. It's just human nature to have these thoughts that seem to me, when they run through my head, crazy.
Well, we have to think, you know, we also have to think not ridiculously about this, because, you know, like a radiation poncho is not going to stop this.
Right.
It's somebody making money off of this, and it's not going to work. People will die. So right now might be a really good time for peace talks. Just an idea. I'm going to throw that out there.
Uh-huh. If leaders that be would be amenable to such things.
Oh, they're not.
Which they do not seem to be at all.
So the thought experiment I asked you a few minutes ago, recall a few minutes ago, I asked you whether or not the war in Ukraine has even started yet. As we talked about last night here on the show, ex-CIA analyst Larry Johnson, whom we featured on the show, says that Putin has yet to even start the offensive against Ukraine.
Okay. I mean, it feels like already too many people had died, but go on.
So if you read Western media, Russia is losing and Ukraine's counteroffensive is working, right? So, you know, maybe Putin's about to lose. And now that the Washington Post says that Ukraine has taken past the city of Lyman towards Luhansk, that things are going Ukraine's way. Here's the front page of the Washington Post this afternoon. Refuting annexation, Ukrainian forces push on from Lyman towards Luhansk. And then it goes into this article and explains. I'm just going to read from this first two paragraphs here. The Ukrainian soldiers waved, hooted, and raised their fists in triumph as they drove out of the strategic eastern city of Lyman on Monday, riding M113 armored personnel vehicles provided by Western countries. They passed 8 corpses of enemy Russian soldiers who died trying to run from a Ukrainian counteroffensive that swept through the area and is still going, putting the lie to President Putin's annexation claims. Like, that's how the Washington Post starts off this piece. It goes on to say,
there are so many things that need qualification there that assume that you are... That's an outrageous paragraph. That's not media. That's not journalism.
No.
You shouldn't write any of that without any kind of proof. They're loaded. That's not journalism.
Well, then you might actually, now we have video that proves that this is a lie anyway. But anyway, I want to continue this paragraph. The bodies were bloated. Some had mouths open as if still wearing an expression of shock. At the moment the Ukrainian troops were driving by, the dead Russians were being unceremoniously placed into black bags. Now, bear in mind, the Washington Post doesn't have a reporter there. So where are they getting this information? They're getting it from Ukrainian officials. But the truth is, we actually have the video that the Washington Post was referring to. And journalists who are in the area called total garbage on the Washington Post's reporting of this. According to journalist Wyatt Reed, these were not fleeing Russians, but rather civilians who were trying to leave the area. Here's the video. I'm going to play just a little clip of it, and I'm going to stop it before it gets gruesome. Watch. So these are civilian vehicles. Civilian vehicles.
Я думаю, если там присматривать
Cars. These are civilians and civilian cars. No Zs painted on any tanks. No Zs. No Russians. No Russian tanks. No Russian armored vehicles. So, according to journalists who actually are there and covering this, those were civilians who were leaving. And by the way, this road has been detailed exhaustively that this road is not the kind of road that any military would be using for a major retreat. This is not a road that would support tanks, any of it. It's a road that was being used by civilians. So thanks, Washington Post, for your excellent journalism. Meanwhile, excellent journalist George Eliason, who's an American journalist living in the Donbas, says that Putin hasn't started this war yet. And the Western media coverage is total propaganda around this. He says that this idea that Russia has failed leaving the city of Lyman is just propaganda. Listen to George.
Russia's got to get into it, the war. They still haven't yet, you know, in real terms. They were limited by law what they could do because it was just, you know, a limited excursion. It's like the president of the United States says, I'm going to send troops over there to do this. Well, without an act of war, you can't bring in, you know, all the equipment, all the tech, you know, the soldiers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's very limited. They're untying their hands right now. And that's part of what the referendum was about. It was to make sure, because they're not doing it for foreign countries now, they're doing it as self-protection part of Russia.
Now, George Eliason, of course, has been the target of Ukraine since 2015. They've tried to go after him and tried to silence him for telling the truth about what's been happening there.
That's why this referendum was such a pivot point, right? Because it's no longer a foreign operation. Now that is home territory, according to Russia.
So we'll see, right? I asked you earlier, do you think that Russia has even started the war yet? Yes or no? Let us know in the chat below.
Well, what they told us, Vladimir Putin opened his mouth and said, once we consider this homeland, the territory changes, the game changes, and our military movements change. We know this.
Right.
That's not guesswork, that piece anyway. What's guesswork is how high this will ratchet and then how far beyond that region it reaches, which is why the rest of us are watching and questioning and trying to figure out if there's even anything we can do.
So if you're Ukraine right now and you're NATO, you know, now would be a good time to actually have some peace talks, don't you think?
I think so. I've been saying that for a long time.
Well, Elon Musk thinks that. Remember Elon Musk at the start of the war in Ukraine sent Starlink dishes, you know, the satellite dishes, his internet service that would be available for people of Ukraine. Everyone said, wow, amazing what the Tesla owner, humanitarian guy, he's doing right now. So he's issued a peace proposal to end this war, and he was absolutely destroyed by Ukrainian Twitter yesterday for suggesting peace. And not just Twitter. I mean, you know, Ukrainian administrative officials, heads of state.
Yes. Even, yeah. Diplomats told him to go F himself.
Right. So what was so provoking? So here was his tweet yesterday. Elon Musk, of all people, has this 4-point plan. Redo the referendum under UN supervision. So do the elections over again. Russia leaves if that is, and they will then, you know, they will, if it's the will of the people, then Russia will leave and it will just be Ukrainian. And the people will decide.
But what he doesn't say is if it is the will of the people, Ukraine, knock it off. Right. He's, and I wish that he had spelled that out, but you know, Twitter character guidelines.
So it seems like it's really kind of like a pro-Ukrainian tweet out of the gate, right? Then he goes on to say Crimea stays Russia as it has been since the year 1783 until Khrushchev's mistake where he basically handed it over.
Again, they don't like that.
Yeah, they don't like that. They also don't like that he mentions water supply would stay to Crimea would be assured.
Nope, they don't want to do that.
And then Ukraine remains neutral, doesn't join NATO, stays a neutral country. Right? Seems like fairly reasonable. I have some problems with it, but at the end of the day, it's a peace offering, right? That's the
idea. It is. That's where peace offerings begin, at places both sides don't like, and then you work towards the middle. Yes, it is at the very least very rational. and pro-peace and anti-people dying any further.
And he says, by the way, this is highly likely to become the outcome in the end anyway. Just a question of how many die before then, he says.
Yeah.
And he says that it's possible, albeit unlikely, outcome from this conflict is a nuclear war. So either this is going to be the outcome, which is what Noam Chomsky told us would basically happen, right? Ukraine would be wiped off the map and sort of, or, you know, or they come to some sort of a settlement agreement.
Yeah.
So what's the choice at this stage? Well, so he also put up a poll in his tweet, Elon Musk did, asking people his thoughts on this. Do you agree with this? Like, do you like this? Look how many people said no. 60% said no. Over 2.5 million people voted that they didn't like this. 40% said yes. So what is 60% of people don't know is that the West is using Ukraine as a proxy battlefield.
Yes.
They don't care at all about Ukraine. And they will use it to the last Ukrainian dies. We know that that's the case. So Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, then tweeted in response to this. Here was his tweet. Which Elon Musk do you like more? The one who supports Ukraine or the one who supports Russia? 2.1 million votes. And overwhelmingly, they like the Elon Musk who supports Ukraine.
That is incredibly obnoxious because because he is not pro-Russia in this tweet. He's only pro-peace.
Right.
And so they continue to whittle it down to anything that is critical is pro-Russia. If you are at all pro-peace. Now, he took a lot of flack for this, and then he furthered up this tweet with a response saying, you're assuming I wish to be popular. I don't care. I don't care what people think of me for saying this. I do care that millions of people may die needlessly for an essentially identical outcome. What he says is, basically, Russia has more than three times the population of Ukraine, so victory for Ukraine is unlikely in a total war. If you care about the people of Ukraine, seek peace right now.
Right. I mean, to me, I know you can get into the nuance of whether these pieces of it are pro-Ukraine or not, but at the end of the day, it's either life or death. That to me is the, right? It's either you live or you don't.
But for the people who respond to this or write these headlines, it's life or death for other people.
Right.
So you can easily just like click buttons and write headlines. But if it were life or death for the people that you lived around or you cared about, it would be very different.
Well, the Western media, we know how the Western media responded to this because the billionaires that run the Western media companies, Bloomberg, CNBC, Forbes, The Hill, et cetera, all pushed this same narrative almost immediately. Just read these headlines. Elon Musk sets off uproar in Ukraine by tweeting his peace plan. CNBC, Elon Musk infuriates Ukraine with a Twitter poll on how the Russia war should end. Elon Musk slammed for Russia-friendly proposal to end the war in Ukraine. Ukraine diplomat says Musk peace proposal, F off. So if you could rewrite all of those headlines, like let's just take the...
But they always do this to him, right? He is disproportionately a recipient of these types of headlines. So that in itself is not, it's like spin on Ukraine, spin on Elon Musk equals really good day if you're a headline writer. Like, yay, this is what I'm trained for. Click, 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 right? So.
Yeah, you could rewrite these headlines, right? I mean, you could change any of them to be, well, this is actually pro-peace.
Mm-hmm.
Like Elon Musk is slammed for suggesting peace, you know, in Ukraine. Like you are, globalists slam Elon Musk for wanting to end their endless war in Ukraine. Like you could rewrite them to be more accurate, but they don't. And then meanwhile, just a few moments ago, a short time ago, Zelensky issued a decree ruling out peace talks with Putin.
So he signed this into law in his own country. And I thought to myself when I saw this, I thought, is he doing this so that no predecessor that comes after him can then instate peace, right? Because it is law or something like that? Or is it just another move like the one he did last week where he signs something and it seems like he's doing things? I'm not exactly sure what that means, but it's just like, I'm ruling this out so we will never do it because it's a very confusing move.
Right.
To tie yourself into a corner. It seems, I mean, only fools are immobile in any kind of conflict. right?
Right. So you're really tying your hands here, right? You're tying your hands saying, well, I can't negotiate peace with Putin. Like, I'm not going to talk to him. So now you're literally telling your people, we are about to be wiped off the map, because you're lying to your people when you tell them that you're winning this war. You have the help of NATO and Western media telling people that you're winning this war, but you're not. And it's going to be deadly. And millions of people could end up dying as a result of it. So, you know, because they've been, and maybe they're hoping their pins and hoping their, you know, dreams on this idea of joining NATO, right? And we saw that the other day, of course, them trying to do this little dog and pony show NATO application. NATO apparently has been routinely lying to Ukraine, according to new reports this morning, about NATO membership. Former U.S. ambassador to Russia, Michael Anthony McFaul, admitted during a panel discussion, well, you got to watch this, let the cat out of the bag, on Ukraine joining NATO. He says Washington has been lying to Ukraine about its NATO bid since 2021. Watch.
In 2021, we kept reiterating that Ukraine was going to join. We kept saying that over and over again. So our diplomats are lying?
Yes.
So,
yes, that's the real world, guys. Come on.
But you could.
It's the real world.
Wait a sec. Our diplomats are lying all the time, yet the Russians should trust them when they offer assurances.
I know, it's so funny, right? That's this idea. We've been lying to them for the last, we've been lying to them for years about getting NATO applications. So we were never going to do it. We've been dangling it as a carrot, and we're just going to use your country as a proxy country to run our wars.
And who was in that audience? It's like, yeah, that's funny. We're talking real folks now.
It's the same people that were in the Mike Pompeo audience where he admits, you know, former CIA director, and he's like, we lie. That's what we do with the CIA. That's, we have whole classes on it. Everyone's like, oh, that's great.
I was just about to bring
that up. Like, it's so funny when you get these people in these positions that, like, they get so caught up in the audience, they don't realize that they're just like, they're opening the doors and shining all the light in on their dirty little secrets.
Right.
It's just amazing to me.
Well, it's like when Liz Truss in the UK, she says, you know, when she was talking about using nuclear weapons, and she's like, yeah, you have to. And the audience is like, yeah, let's use nuclear weapons. Let's do it. These people are crazy.